and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And with the Surf Lords kicking off a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, we're heading to Albuquerque, New Mexico to hear from the man himself, the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, we are revisiting a noble gas that we discussed in great detail back in early 2012.
Well, that's right, Rob, and it's used for more than balloons and making your voice sound funny.
And Mickey, that was a shot, rather a clip of you from that 2012 show after taking a shot of helium.
I did. Everybody likes to do that, but it's getting more and more expensive. When I first did that a little bit more than four years ago, the price had gone up to $23.50 for a tank of helium to fill about 50 balloons.
Mm-hmm.
That had gone up year over year from $8.50 in 2011. Well, I checked the price today, and it's $35. So
wow.
I'm not going to go pay $35 to do that little trick again.
No, and we'll get into the reasons for that big ongoing price increase in just a second. Perhaps a bit of a refresher, though, on helium, Mickey, the history of it.
Yeah, well, helium was discovered during an eclipse of the sun in the late 1800s through a spectrograph, but it really had no known uses. And until 1903, there were reserves found in natural gas fields in Kansas, and actually Kansas, Oklahoma, and into North Texas became essentially the world's helium supply. During World War One and post-World War One, the U.S. military did a bunch of experiments, and they figured out this stuff's great for reconnaissance balloons, etc. So by 1925, U.S. controlled the world supply, so they made the National Helium Reserve in Amarillo, Texas, which is kind of the south end of this long line of fields that goes starts in southwest Kansas. This had major ramifications in the late 30s when Nazis took control of Germany. U.S. embargoed Germany from helium, and so that led directly to their airships, the Zeppelins at the time, using hydrogen, and resulted in the Hindenburg explosion in the late 1930s. World War II, there was uses in the Manhattan Project, and then today the uses just continue to grow and grow. About main uses for cryogenics, but also pressure and purge systems, controlled atmospheres, underwater arc welding, leak detection, breathing mixtures, and then things that sound kind of esoteric, scientific research, gas chromatography, rocket fuel coolants, silicon wafers. So we keep getting more and more uses and more demand for helium.
Okay, so 4 years ago, just over 4 years ago, you paid $23 for a small tank enough for 50 party balloons. Today, you're going to pay $35 for that same size tank. What's behind that big price increase, Mickey?
Well, it really has to do with U.S. government controls of this market. So we already mentioned about the helium reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government, to keep this reserve supplied, kept buying more and more helium from private companies. They established pipelines from the fields down to the reserve outside Amarillo, Texas. And by 1996, his debt had amounted to $1.4 billion. So they decide their Clinton administration, about the same time they did away with the U.S. Bureau of Mines, decide they're going to sell off this reserve. And so they passed a bill in 1996 to do that. By 2005, and they did that at artificially low prices. They were selling it under the market. Well, what happened? They flooded the market the price cratered, and once that happened, supply dropped. So by 2013, this was a real mess. Prices had started to go up significantly, and so they passed the helium. Congress passed the Helium Stewardship Act, which extended to 2021 the sell-off of the National Reserve, and they did that by auction, and that didn't work at all.
Okay, so we've gone through periods of basically artificial gluts and oversupplies in the market. The backdrop to that, though, Mickey, is helium. Are there discoveries being made around the world? Are more and more companies getting into this this area?
Well, certainly they are because of this price manipulation. Before we go to that, let's do one more thing and lay a little bit more background. So,
sure.
With these auctions, the idea was to stabilize the price and to steadily increase the price, if possible. But what's happened? There's about 12 refineries in the western U.S. or the Great Plains in the western U.S.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the natural gas fields are that we know of in the U.S. that have helium. But only four of these plants have pipelines to Amarillo.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is you've ended up with this toll refining scenario, and the big refineries have gone into the auctions and bought up all the helium and shut out all the non-refiners, which has resulted in these wild swings in prices. And then, in addition, the U.S. government rations supplies when there are shortages. So military gets first dibs, and medical uses, and that's mainly MRI machines for the cryogenics, big user. And they're long-term contractors, and everybody else gets shut out. So we have a price, an official price of $85 for government users, non-government users $104, and private producer prices now are upwards of $200, and it's really hurt the scientific research end of this.
Is there a price structure like that anywhere else in the world of commodities? I mean, that's pretty darn unique, isn't it?
Well, none that I know of.
Right.
It's so convoluted and has worked so poorly over its history. It just goes to show you what happens when bureaucrats get involved, governments and bureaucrats that are not motivated by price.
Okay, I've heard that. I've read that Qatar is increasing production to the point now where that's certainly a country that has to be mentioned in terms of global supplies of helium. And also I've read that Tanzania may be sitting on top of a fairly big discovery in a lake there, 54.2 billion cubic meters. Have you heard
well,
that?
Well, I didn't know about, certainly Qatar is probably has now probably the world's largest reserves or potential for reserves, and they're building plants. Algeria's come on strong lately, but the U.S. still supplies about 45% of the annual production and about 60% with these of world demand with these reserve sales. But there's also other countries, Australia, Poland, Russia. So because of these price manipulations, it certainly spurred other parts of the world, and the shortage has created other parts of the world to develop their helium reserves.
Yeah. Uses along the way, Mickey. It's a growing list, I would imagine.
Well, it certainly is. There's, we've kind of already gone through some of the most important uses, but this is a gas that is going, you can only foresee additional demand and additional supply coming on. And of course, when that happens in these high prices, here come the juniors once again.
Mm-hmm. What's happening in the junior area right now? You mentioned here come the juniors. Is this story making some waves in that area of the market?
Well, it's pretty interesting. So I went back and I looked at some of the companies that were involved in 2011, let's say, and about the time that we were doing our first show in 2012. And They all failed.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
But now they're rising from the ashes again. So there's one company that in 2010 was involved in a place in northeast Arizona, the St. John's Anticline, that also goes a little bit into New Mexico. And so that company has now gone through it's on its third incarnation, and recently had a name change. We've got an Australian company that was set for listing in midsummer of 2011. That has now reappeared on the Australian exchange. There's always been plays going on in Saskatchewan. Those mm-hmm. are being revived right now. So we've got this whole new set of juniors. Not very many companies at this point, but the reason that spurred me to do this show, Rob, was I was contacted by a junior last week wanting to get some of my knowledge of the helium market. So, mm-hmm. And they're looking to get involved in some of the fields in the U.S. We've got some plays going on in Montana and various other parts of the Great Plains in the western U.S.
Okay.
And Saskatchewan.
Okay, and getting back to uses, Mickey, you know, everybody watches the Macy's Day Parade, so there is something right in front of your eyeballs in terms of the use of helium, but perhaps another visible use that will be more popular, helium commercial airships. I know Lockheed Martin is expected to have the first helium hybrid commercial airship airborne by next year. There's a company out there that's put in an order for 12 of these crafts. Pretty cool looking things. These are, you know, think back to the Hindenburg, but a modernized version of that, obviously. They're huge, about the size of a football field, apparently.
Well, we all know about the Hindenburg, and we all know about the Goodyear blimps, which
yeah.
fly above every major sporting event in the U.S., the Super Bowl and the World Series and the NCAA regionals and et cetera, et cetera. But there is a movement to build these rigid airships once again mm-hmm. as ways to shuttle people across the country. And so that is a new and burgeoning demand for helium.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, is this an area of the market where you want to put some dollars on the line in terms of an investment when, in fact, the government is controlling the supply and the price?
Well, it's something that's intriguing to me at this time. I haven't delved into any companies, but I'm certainly taking a look at them. You know, there is increased demand. Mm-hmm. The reserve is being sold off by law. They have to have it all sold off by 2021.
Right.
But then again, you never know what's quite going to happen. But certainly from a fundamental supply-demand equation, this looks like something that might be worth looking at.
Okay, well, that's a nice way to wrap it up, Mickey. We have the Surf Lords warming up in the background. So our time is up. Next time out, what are you thinking of?
Not thinking anything, Rob. We're going to go kind of show to show now.
Right.
Rest assured that it will be something to do with commodities.
Okay, great stuff. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, Mickey. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. And you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.